for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much like my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving here with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or caving the bottom or hitting the top. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the armchair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah. This is the armchair. Yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys? And welcome to episode 241 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are, of course, presented by the Going for Two Live Podcast Network. You can find us every Wednesday and Friday night on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, on all major podcast networks, and, of course, streaming in the Going to app for iOS and Android. If you are on Twitter, for right now, we cannot see your comments. Twitter's got some issue with their connection to us. So if you're on Twitter and want to interact with the show, go find us on YouTube. Just search for Going for Two Live. We should come up. Then you can talk to us on YouTube.
And hit subscribe.
Thank you, Ryan.
It's just a button.
Just hit that subscribe button. It helps us out. All right, that's my co-host, as usual, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. You can follow him on Twitter at Foss534. What's up, Ryan?
I don't know. I'm just excited to be the first person to ever plug one of our things on the show and tell somebody to subscribe or follow. Yeah. I don't think it's ever happened before. I'm proud of it.
I suck at that. I honestly do. Maybe you should just be the one to open the intro for the rest of the show.
Hard pass. Really excited about our guest set tonight.
Yes, one of our favorite guests. He's been on, I think, at least three times, if not more. Mr. Kane Fossil, content creator for Debbie Marketplace and Headliner U. You can follow him on Twitter at Debbie_Kane. What's up, Kane?
Hey, what up, guys? Thank you so much for having me again. You know, I think this is such a fun time of the year, right? Especially when we're talking about fantasy football, especially you're a dynasty guy like me, you get to decide, is your team competing? Is your team not? Well, you should maybe decided that about 5 weeks ago. But you get to decide and make those final pushes for the playoffs to make sure you're trading for the right guys. So I think we'll be talking about some of those guys on this show. And don't forget that if you want to talk a little bit of rookie knowledge, you know, you want to figure out who's coming up, make sure you check out the Debbie Marketplace, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or if you're on YouTube, make sure you check out Headliner U, because we're breaking down every college football matchup that we find interesting. So make sure to check out all the work that we're doing over there.
Definitely, guys. He's a great, great follow on Twitter. And if you're a Dynasty or Debbie guy, he's a must follow. You got to get on Twitter and follow him for sure. All right, let's just go ahead and jump into it.
And now, the five 101s.
All right, you should know how this goes by now, guys. This is a way to kind of get to know our guests a little bit better. Just a fun way to do it. Five 101s. I'm going to give him five topics. He's going to give me his 101 of that topic. And the first thing I got in here, what is your 101 movie villain, Kane?
Thanos.
Hey, we've gotten him before. Yeah, it's always Thanos, or we've gotten, I think, Darth Vader a couple times, too. But yeah.
Well, you know, if I wasn't going Thanos, I would probably go who I think is my favorite villain overall, which is the Joker.
The Joker, yeah. Which Joker do you like? Are you the old school Batman Joker, or are you the Heath Ledger Joker?
So I love both the Heath Ledger Joker as well as the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, like the standalone Joker movie.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was
fantastic.
Yeah, that was definitely a good one. Good stuff.
I'm upset that it's Christmas season and nobody said Hans Gruber yet.
Yes. Because that's not a Christmas movie.
Let's not get into this argument. That's worse than the LeBron James versus Michael Jordan argument right there.
Oh, please don't even bring that up.
All right, let's do the next one here. What is your 101 holiday food or dessert?
It's the most simple one, but it's mashed potatoes.
Nice.
Like, mashed potatoes in their whole, right? You have them, like, you know, we have them on Easter, we have them on Thanksgiving, we have them on Christmas. Like, every big holiday get together, there's mashed potatoes in my house. Absolutely love. You can give them to me dry. You can give them to me with butter. You can give them to me with gravy. I don't care. I'm going to eat them. You can throw some cheese in there. You can throw some sour cream, some bacon. I don't care. Anyway, I love mashed potatoes.
Good stuff. That's definitely a good staple for any holiday dinner for sure. All right. And this next one here is the first time I've asked this one. And I saw a thing on your Twitter sort of asking a question, giving three options is why I came up with this one. What is your favorite meat to smoke?
I'm just going to go out of simplicity because I think it's important to have a meat to smoke that is just crazy easy to do. You can get into the weeds, right, and do big things like briskets and those sort of things. But my favorite thing to smoke is ribs.
Ribs.
I absolutely love barbecued ribs. Like, yes. They're so great. I want them always.
I have yet to smoke ribs yet. I need to get on that. I just bought my smoker last year, and I smoked a turkey. It was the first thing I did. I've done a whole chicken. I've done a few other things, but I have yet to do ribs.
Yeah, I started out really hot. The first thing I ever smoked, so I bought the smoker, and then I invited all of my friends over. And I was like, I'll do a 16-pound brisket, knowing nothing about smoking meats, right? But it turned out fine. But since then, I think ribs are just so easy.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love ribs. My wife hates them because she hates eating with her fingers for some reason or something. I just want to get messy. I just want to eat the food, and it's incredible. Also, it's a summer food here. You put that with corn on the cob. And you can grill corn on the cob too. So everything just goes on the smoker, and it's just so great.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So we're going to go from one food to another here, but this one's a little bit different. Give me your 101 fast food breakfast.
Sausage McGriddle meal with large Diet Coke.
He's even had the actual order.
There was no hesitation.
Yeah, I like that.
I know what I'm about.
That's awesome.
And in case you're wondering on the order to eat those things, you obviously eat the hash brown first. Because if you can get that hot and crispy hash brown from McDonald's, that there's a special place for that hash brown. If you get it just coming out of the grease and it's burning your mouth and it tastes terrific, that's what I want.
Yep, definitely.
And then the McGriddle is just incredible.
Yeah, I agree there. Eat the hash brown first, because if you wait too long, it sits in there. It can get soggy if you wait too long on it.
Yep.
All right, and the final one here. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, if you want to be elite, you eat half the hash brown and then put the other half of the hash brown on the sandwich.
Nice.
Get a little extra crunch.
Nice. If you want to be elite, I like it. And the final one here is the obligatory one that we do for everybody. What is your 101 adult beverage?
That's tough. So if I'm at a bar, my go-to is either a Pendleton 7. Or a Windsor 7. So just whiskey 7. That's usually my go-to. If I'm fancy, I either want a whiskey sour. A good whiskey sour is really tough to beat.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's delicious, but also I'll never turn down wine or a cider or really any alcohol. If you're going to give it to me.
Good stuff. Yeah. Whiskey seems to be a popular choice on the podcast here. And I've tried it. I didn't like it the first time, but I need to go back and try this again, because it seems to be the most popular choice of some kind of whiskey on the podcast here.
I'm not a whiskey on the rocks person. That's not for me. I started with whiskey Cokes, then went to whiskey Diets, and then went to whiskey Sevens. So usually it's whiskey Diet 7 at this point, or so whiskey.
You're 5 to 7 years away from whiskey on the rocks, then. Maybe a little bit less.
Yeah,
you're taking baby steps closer and closer.
I do one or two Windsor Sevens, then it goes to a Windsor Press. So if you don't know what that is, Windsor Water with just a splash of Seven.
Nice.
And then it switches to Windsor Waters, and then it's real close to just being we don't even need the water,
Just whiskey on the rocks.
I skip straight from whiskey and Coke. Directly to just ice.
Nice.
I skipped all the middle.
It's just too harsh for me. Also, I love sugar, and I love soda. It's really great. I have one right here. We're sponsored by Sunkist.
Nice.
This is killing me because I gave it up. I'm on 6 months strong without soda. And just seeing it gives me a little tangle.
Oh. I'll drink one for you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
All right. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Let's jump into some fantasy stuff.
News and notes from around the league.
News and notes, as always, brought to you by the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Everyone hates bad trade offers, right? No one wants to be that guy. Never make a bad trade offer again with the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Visit goingfor2.com/DTC. Sign up for $15 a year. That's right. All you do, visit goingfor2.com/DTC. Get the best trade calculator for $15. Stop guessing. Start calculating. We'll kick it off here with the first, the big news. There's a bunch of injuries this past weekend, a bunch of high-end fantasy players that are either out for a few weeks or, in the case of Christian McCaffrey, done for the year. Ryan, I'm going to go to you first. Now, if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner, you've probably already been dealing with him in and out of the lineup already, so you probably already have a plan. But is it Chuba Hubbard? Yeah. Is it somebody else? Is it, you know, you're looking at the waiver wire? What's going on here with Christian McCaffrey? What are we doing?
I'm already broken if I'm his owner, but it's Chuba Hubbard. Like, he showed he can do, like, a 65% of the job that McCaffrey does, which is an RB2 or better category, and I'm fine with that. It's just not McCaffrey. Like, I got to pray other positions hit right now, who's kind of screwed, but you've dealt with it all year.
Yep, exactly. So I'm going to throw out another name to you, Kane, that's been a popular waiver wire ad, Mr. Ameer Abdullah. Any interest at all in him and his pass-catching ability?
You know, I think you got interested when he was a Lion in one preseason game, and I think the interest has kind of continued since then. I have no interest in Ameer Abdullah. I don't understand why we want the backup running back to a bad team.
Yeah.
Like, if it was the backup running back to a good team, like, sure. But, like, Nope. Like, I would add him in Dynasty Leagues just so I can see if I can trade him for a third.
Right.
Like, it's an immediate flip.
Yeah, agreed 100%. Yeah, I think that you're right. I mean, that guy has created a fantasy career on that one run in that one preseason game that he got super hyped up. And since then, he's been, you know, he's been
on. He just pops his head up like once every season and a half. He's like, hey, guys, I'm a backup now. You might want to pick me up, waste a roster spot.
Yep. Oh, Dalvin Cook is injured? It's like, hi, I'm Ameer Abdullah. Like,
exactly.
Don't want you. Damn it.
Yep, exactly.
No, leave.
Speaking of Dalvin Cook, he is out at least 1 to 2 weeks here. Obviously, Madison is the direct replacement for him, but he has looked sort of on and off. I mean, he was good this year, but when he filled in this past weekend, he wasn't that good. Is there anybody else interested in this one, Ryan, for Dalvin Cook? Anybody else you're looking for in the waiver wire or anything that you're trying to replace Dalvin Cook with?
I mean, just honestly, if it's redraft, it's just Madison. Like, he's a stud when he's in there. And then, is it Ugonwe? Is maybe for
Kenny or something weird?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. Kenny Wongu. But he's worth a deeper ad, I guess. But apparently Dallas played one tear already. What's another one?
Yeah.
He's going to be back in 2 weeks
and be good to go.
Be ruined by the team.
Yeah, he'll be back in time for the fantasy playoffs, supposedly. Let me ask you, Kane, on Dalvin Cook here. Let's say that he is out 2 weeks and he comes back. Are you plugging him into your lineup day one? I mean, it'll be a playoff game at that point. We won't know how well he's going to perform with that injury.
Like, I think it always depends on who the replacement is. But I'll just talk redraft first. The chances are that you have a replacement that can give you the same upside as Dalvin Cook is close to non-existent.
Exactly.
Right. Like, it's just not happening. And if that is happening, that means that you're starting three running backs the whole time. You had two running backs and another running back in your flex. And when one was out on a bye, you were just starting the other one, right? But overall, like, that's just not, it's not going to happen. And I shoot for upside in the playoffs because it's a 1 week luck of the draw matchup.
Yep.
So I want that running back that's just has a chance to absolutely kill it. Sure. Is there a chance that Dalvin Cook goes 15 for 30 yards? Yep. Is there also a chance that he goes, you know, 20 for 110 and two touchdowns?
Yep.
You bet there is. So that's what I'm chasing.
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure I win the matchup. I don't want to. The worst, right, is when it's Monday night. And you're like, oh, I need 2.4 points from this unknown player.
Yeah.
Like, throw it their way twice and we can do this. Yeah. And it's like, that's not what I'm hoping for.
I don't want that now.
No, definitely not. So, Ryan, I'm going to ask you, we'll stay on Dalvin Cook here. I've gotten a lot of questions here recently with people wanting to either trade away Dalvin Cook or people trying to get Dalvin Cook. What side are you on? Are you looking to buy Dalvin Cook low with the injury, or are you looking to sell him if you have him?
Can I say both? Like, if I don't have him, I'm probably going to try to get him on the cheap. If I have him, I'm still charging a premium. Like, he's still Dalvin Cook. Right. I'm just going to wait 2 weeks till he's healthy. Like, it has to be both on that, because I want him on my team if I can get him.
Yeah.
I know he's a declining asset because he's hurt a lot, but I still want him, and I'm not taking anything short if I'm not getting two firsts or more for him.
Yeah, I agree.
This also isn't the time to sell Dalvin Cook.
No.
Like, if you're selling, this is not the time. I'm waiting until next season.
Yeah.
When everyone thinks that they need running backs.
Yep.
Then take Dalvin Cook for two firsts, and then I start my rebuild.
Yep. Agreed 100%.
In the 2023 class, which is a better class overall.
All right, let's move into the receivers that are we got to Mr. Deebo Samuel out at least a couple weeks, and Juwan Jennings kind of popped his head up. I think he's like a sixth-round pick from a couple years ago. So, one, I'll go to you, Ryan, first here. Give me your thoughts on Deebo being out. Who do you think benefits the most? And then are you interested at all in Juwan Jennings?
Obviously, it's Ayuk showed that he benefits most from him being out. Showed it last year. He's flashed the last 2 weeks. So it's only going to be him, Kittle, in the run game. At this point in the season, I don't want to start Juwan Jennings. Like, we're in playoff time almost.
Yep.
I'm hoping Debo's back by it because he's not something I'm starting. I'm going to stash him and grab him, but I don't want to play him.
Kane, what about you? Any thoughts on Deebo and Juwan Jennings?
Well, you're dealing with a team that would be more than happy to run it 42 times in a game.
Yeah.
So, like, why take the high variance on that for the third pass-catching weapon?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I want to do. I think Juwan Jennings is a good player within that offense. Like, I kind of liked him coming out of Tennessee. I think he's a good player overall. But, like Ryan said, I'm not taking a shot on him this close to the playoffs when – There's some teams that I need wins so I can lock up bye weeks, or I'm trying to get into the playoffs. He is too high of a variance for me to take that shot.
Agreed. I think he's at best here. He's probably like a dynasty stash for next year, and see if he can do anything for you. But yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want to be starting him for sure. He's definitely not the Deebo replacement, that's for sure. I think it's Ayuk benefit. I think Kittle gets more targets. And they try to run the ball more, which is kind of impossible, but I do think that that's the case. This next one here hasn't been officially confirmed, but DeAndre Swift looks like he will be out. Kane, I'm going to go to you first. Of course, Jamal Williams is there. We also have the rookie Jamar Jefferson behind him. What are you doing if you're a Swift owner right now?
Hoping. Just for anything. Like, I'm just hoping for him to be healthy.
Yeah.
If I'm worrying about who I'm going to start this week, I'm making sure I have a contingency plan for him not to start. If you're in Dynasty, I don't hate the third round pick for his backup.
Right.
Like, I for Jamal Williams, that's fine to me. You're dealing with a guy that's been injured quite often since, like, when he was in college too. So I don't mind taking that shot for a third round pick, like, but I'm not paying anything more than that.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Ryan? Any thoughts here on Jefferson or Jamal Williams? You trying to go out and get them if you're a Swift owner?
I like Jamal Williams for his, one, he has a little bit of standalone value and he's going to get volume while he's there, and he showed he's a good pass catcher. So I like him there from that area, but I'm more with him. That's really all I want. I don't want the third running back on a terrible team. And I just pray Swift's back.
Yeah, just pray Swift's is back. That's
just pray Swift's back.
Hopefully he's back in time for the playoffs. All right, let's switch gears here and talk about basically an entire offense here that is typically a pretty good fantasy offense, but has been pretty terrible the last couple of weeks. But what's wrong with Russell Wilson and that whole entire offense, Kane?
Like, this is going to sound like the stupidest thing I've ever said in a really long time, but, like, bear with me here. they miss Chris Carson. Right? Like, it is incredibly important to a team whose identity is wrapped up in running the ball and playing it safe to have a good running back so they can play it safe, right? If you repeatedly roll out Alex Collins or the ghost of Rashad Penny whenever he gets healthy, like, that's not going to entice teams to stack the box and give you plus matchups with really fast guys like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Like, that's just not how it works. They're going to continue to play too high against them, and they want Alex Collins to run the ball, especially since he's been largely inefficient for the past, 6 weeks?
Yep, that's definitely true. It's kind of what they've been doing to some of the other teams out there, too, that too deep shell. Take away, take away Lockett, take away Metcalf on those deep plays and basically force them to run the ball, and they can't seem to do that. What about you, Ryan? What are your thoughts here, especially like if you're an owner of one of these players? What are you panicking right now with Lockett and Metcalf?
I'm worried, and I kind of, after hearing Carson theory, that's kind of right, because them not being a run kills the play action, and it's the play action deep ball to those two speedsters that makes Russ and helps him cook. And that offense, when they can't run the ball, isn't doing that, so they just cover them and they get pressure on him because there's no offensive line. He was still sacked 22 times this year, and he's always hit behind the line of scrimmage. He's the most hit quarterback in the last since he's been in the league. It's just adding up because that running game is just less protection too.
Yeah, I agreed 100%. Yeah, that team, it's hard to believe that they're one of the worst. I think they're in the NFC, they're the second worst team. Only team worse than them, I think, is the Detroit Lions, which is crazy to think about, the Seattle Seahawks being down that low. So it's pretty scary if you're an owner of any pieces of that offense, for sure. All right, let's go to one last one here. This is to the Thursday night game. Taysom Hill is getting the start here. We don't know about Kamara just yet. We do think Ingram will play here. Kamara is questionable. Of course, they got their typical passing options, if you can call them that. What does Taysom Hill do to this offense, Ryan, as far as fantasy goes? Is it just Taysom Hill, or are you looking at any of those passing options?
I think it helps Ingram because the running quarterback opens it up for the running backs, but I'm not excited about any of the passing options. I'm sure he'll have his guy, which we don't know who it is yet, but I'm not excited about anything with this offense at all.
But that guy is 4 receptions for 50 yards.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's not great.
Probably not a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's what worries me. I'm scared for Alvin Kamara if he does play, because we just saw Alvin Kamara did not get the same targets when Taysom Hill was playing last season. So that worries me a little bit, but we'll see. I think the game plan has to be different, and you have to give Alvin Kamara the ball because he's the best player on the field.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
By a lot.
I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask Kane this question, because this is actually a question that I have in one of my leagues. So I have Kyler Murray and I have Taysom Hill on my bench. Kyler Murray is questionable, hasn't played the last couple of weeks. Do you just play Taysom Hill and roll with him being on Thursday night, or do you hope that Murray plays and don't play Hill on Thursday night?
So I play Taysom Hill. And the reason why I do is because Taysom Hill is going to give me, 150 yards passing, maybe a touchdown. But he's also going to give me 75 yards rushing and probably a touchdown, right? And that is enough for me to not want to start a hurt player.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my worry, too, because not only if he does come back, how healthy will he be, and will he be running? Because, I mean, Kyler Murray's fantasy value is tied to his rushing ability, too. So I agreed 100% there. All right, let's get to the prop bets of the week.
Going for Two Live and PlayPickup.com present the Pickup Props of the Week.
All right, guys, as always, the prop bets of the week are brought to you by PlayPickup.com. Look for PlayPickup Props embedded in all of our articles at goingfor2.com. You can play those prop bets. Be sure to enter your phone number to verify your picks, and you could win free stuff. Visit playpickup.com for more details. We got five props for this week, Ryan. I'll start with you here. 49ers Seahawks. Which duo has more receiving yards in week 13? Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle or DK Metcalf and Lockett? We just talked about how bad that offense looks. Who are you going with here?
I can't believe I'm saying it. It's Ayuk and Kittle. Like, the Seahawks offense looks bad. And we know Kittle's going to get – we know that their offense – their passing offense funnels through these two. And it's a little bit more efficient.
What about you, King? What are your thoughts here? Ayuk and Kittle or DK Metcalf and Tyler?
I have to go with the 49ers because I think they're just the better team.
Yeah, I'm with y'all as well. Because, yeah, if you would have asked this question at the beginning of the season, people would have thought you were crazy. This would have been the smash DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. It's crazy that we've come this far where we're picking basically a third receiver in Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, a tight end, over DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, which probably got drafted in the second or third round in most rookie drafts, or most fantasy drafts. All right, next one here we got is total yards over-under for Najee Harris versus the Ravens in Week 13. I'll go to you on this one first, Kane. So the over-under is set at 99.5 for Najee Harris total yards versus the Ravens. What you got?
Under.
Going under. You think it's the Ravens' defense, or you just think it's the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive line is terrible?
Both.
Both.
I think you have to hope a lot for pass-catching work for him to hit 99.5. Like, that's the hope. And the problem, right, is that you already have a guy like Deontay Johnson who's going to get a lot of that shallow work targets, and especially has been getting a lot more of those as the season has gone on. No more are the Najee Harris 19-target games.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan? This is versus your Ravens. Over-under 99.5 yards. Total yards.
Yeah, I'm sticking for the under, the same as he said. Plus, Baltimore's quietly had the second-best run defense in the league.
Wow,
like, I didn't they know just, that. Yeah, they're you have 926 yards so far this year.
Wow.
Like, and they gave Nick Chubb his worst game since 2015, like his rookie year.
Wow.
So their run defense is working well right now.
Yeah, I think I'm going under as well. I think total yards, basically 100 yards or more, is tough to get against the Ravens. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go under as well with that one. Let's look at the Broncos-Chiefs running back duos. Which duo has more total yards in this one, Ryan? Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams or Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams?
I'm sticking with the Chargers ones. I just going with the better backs.
You mean the Broncos?
Yeah, the Broncos ones. I don't know why I said Chargers.
Melvin Gordon's not on the Chargers anymore.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon messed you up a little bit.
That's why my brain went there. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, I'm taking the Broncos ones. They're going to try to make an ugly game and keep the offense off the field. So they're going to run the ball, and they're just better backs.
All right, what about you, Kane? Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams?
I'm going to go with Gordon and Williams because they want to run the ball. I'm not sure the Chiefs want to run the ball.
Yeah.
Like, I think they, like, if they do, they're like, cool. But if they, if it just doesn't work, they're like, all right, we're just going to throw it 50 times.
Yeah, fair point.
And that's not a choice for the Broncos, right? They want to throw it 25 times and run the ball 35, 40 times in a game. That's their goal.
Yep. Good call that one, yeah, because the Broncos definitely want to run the ball, play decent defense, especially with that offense on the other side, keep them off the field. I'm going with that duo as well. Next one we got here, Kane, is two guys that pretty much all year we've been trying to pick which one's going to have the big game. Their teammates, Mike Evans versus Chris Godwin. Which one has more receiving yards versus the Falcons this week?
So I think it's Chris Godwin because if you look at Chris Godwin and Tom Brady, if Tom Brady hits, so does Chris Godwin. And if they're really productive, which they should be against a really, really poor Atlanta Falcons defense, then it's going to be Godwin because that they're going to constantly be moving down the field. And Mike Evans just isn't going to be that main target.
Yeah, I think I'm with you as well. I think Evans has the big play ability and probably the touchdown upside. But as far as receiving yards, I'm going Godwin as well. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, if it was like fantasy points, I might lean Evans because of his red zone ability. But for eating up yards, that's Godwin.
Yeah.
That's his role in that offense.
Agreed.
Right.
All right, last one here I thought was pretty interesting. Josh Allen versus Mac Jones, and we're comparing the completion percentage of these two guys. Which one has the higher completion percentage on Monday Night Football, Josh Allen or Mac Jones, Ryan?
It's completion percentage. If you have Mac Jones, he plays high efficient, smart offense. Josh Allen might have more yards, more touchdowns, but Mac Jones probably completes 70% of his passes.
Yeah, that's definitely true. What about you, Kane? You going with Mac Jones as well?
One has an A dot of around 5, and the other one has an A dot at around 9. So I'm going to go with the guy that's throwing shorter passes in Mac Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. And Mac Jones is also going to throw a lot fewer passes, so a lot less chances for him to incomplete those passes. They'll be safe plat passes. They'll run the ball, play good defense. So it's Mac Jones for me as well. All right, so Kane, we got you here. We've already mentioned that you're a big Debbie guy. You're a big Dynasty rookie guy. You do all this stuff. So we're going to take a look at some of these rookies in this draft class coming up here. Give us a couple names at each position that if you're like me and you don't even watch college football, you wait to after the season before you start looking at these guys. I don't know their names really. Give us a few guys we should be looking at. We'll start here at the quarterback position. Who should we be looking at in our rookie drafts this year?
Okay, so you guys have definitely talked with me about this before when it comes to rookies, and I'm going to end up talking really, really fast because I'm going to get really, really excited, and for that, I apologize. It's just the way that it goes, but we have to highlight four main quarterbacks, right? So the first for me is Matt Corral, the quarterback from Ole Miss. He's just an incredible gunslinger. If you have any question about Matt Corral, it's his durability. He's kind of smaller, undersized guy. He's gotten hurt before at Ole Miss, especially this season when he ended up having to leave a couple games. Second guy is Sam Howell, the quarterback out of UNC. He's just a really safe pick, right? He's going to be like a quarterback too in fantasy football, right? He's not going to have a ton of upside. If he ends up giving you what like Big Ben did, I'd be like, all right, like that makes sense. Could have the upside for big weeks, but like overall, you're going to end up finishing high, but it's going to be like pretty boom or bust weeks depending on, you know, who the defense is. Third guy for me is Kenny Pickett, the quarterback out of Pittsburgh. Didn't really flash until the end of last season, where he was actually playing with a sprained ankle. He ended up having to wear a shoe that was two sizes too big because his ankle was that swollen.
Wow.
So he's tough as nails. And he absolutely exploded this season. He's done really, really well for Pitt. And I think he's got to be in the conversation. The only knock you're going to find on him is that his hands are small.
We've like, heard that
we're talking like 7.5-inch hands.
Wow.
So that's going to be the knock that you're going to see on him. Then let's talk about the highest upside guy. He's lightning in a bottle, but we've also seen what that floor is, and that's Malik Willis, the quarterback out of Liberty. Now, he is incredibly exciting. He is crazy fast and has a slingshot of an arm. The problem is that slingshot just isn't accurate. So if you watch a game like his game against University of Louisiana Monroe, he was absolutely terrible, right? But we've seen games where he's really, really good. So it's a complete mixed bag on what you're going to get. If you're going to get that high upside, if you're just going to get that guy that just has a terrible floor, that's Malik Willis. And people are going to draft him high because he's the most athletic quarterback.
Right. Got that rushing upside. Nice. Yeah. Ryan, I know you just started doing your research on quarterbacks. Is there anybody you want to add to that list or any more comments you want to make on those four quarterbacks you mentioned?
Not really. I probably wouldn't add to that list. I watched a couple others, but like, I don't know if they're starting caliber guys watching them, so I'm not super excited about them. I think all these guys, those three he talked about, are solid and super flex. I don't know how high I'm taking them. Like, I know it's convention to say one overall is QB1 and super flex. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
Just a weak quarterback.
These guys, yeah, like they're more like mid to late for first so far for me. But
Ryan, I think your AC may have kicked on or your heat, because I can hear that in the background, just so you know. All right. It happens at least once a podcast. All right, let's go to the position that people love to draft in their rookie draft, the running back position here, Kane. Give us some names to look for at running back.
Yeah, so this is not going to be as exciting as drafts of the past, I'm just going to start there. I think there's three guys that are better than the rest of the people out there. You have the main power back that we seem to have all the time. That's not incredibly efficient just because he's in a power back in the SEC, and that's Isaiah Spiller coming out of Texas A&M. In the losses, he's averaging 6.7 yards a carry.
Wow.
Like, he's a very good player. He's not going to get a ton of work. There's more splitting carries with Devin Achane because the guy, Devin Achane, can run a sub 11 second 100 yard dash. So, like, yeah, I'd give him the ball too. But he's just a power running back. I like him a lot. You have the running back Breece Hall coming out of Iowa State. What's really weird is my comp for him is actually David Montgomery. Like, if he gets drafted in a spot where he's going to get 20, 25 touches a game, you light him up. Like, I think that's a great spot for Breece Hall. The third running back is a guy that has really bursted on the scene this year. He's transferred from Wake Forest to Michigan State, and that's Kenneth Walker III. Another power back. Like, the reason why Michigan State has been talked about this season.
Right.
He's the reason why. So I like him too. There's a few guys that are kind of like, you know, they could be exciting, whether that's Kyren Williams, who can catch some good passes. You have Jerrion Ealy, who I believe is the best pass catching running back in this draft. He's coming out of Ole Miss. He's an undersized guy, 5'9", 185. And then, you know, guys like Tyler Batty, who's coming out of Mizzou, who apparently can carry the ball 44 times a game. He's wow, putting up some crazy attempt numbers. And the other guy I would mention is just Rashad White out of Arizona State. Just really elusive. And he was a JUCO transfer that came into Arizona State. So I think he's definitely someone that could be in conversation for that late day two pick.
Nice. Now, you said the running position is not that exciting. Let me ask you, you know, we always label this as a tight end draft, or this is a running back draft, or this is a receiver draft. If you had to give this draft a label, which position do you think it's heavy on?
Wide receivers.
Wide receiver.
By a long ways. There's a lot of them.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
And also in the same regard, like quarterbacks, because I think we're going to have like four quarterbacks drafted in the first round. And in Superflex, like, that's still good.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Because we don't always get four quarterbacks in the first round.
That's true. Ryan, what about you? Anybody you looked at that you want to talk about, or someone you want to add to that list?
I only took like the top eight. So,
yeah. Is there a ninth in there, Ryan, that you want to talk about?
Mainly the guys you talked about. I really like the main four with Spiller, Walker, Hall, and Williams. I think they all have some sort of fantasy value. Williams, at least, is like two down back roll. I thought Zonovan Knight was a decent player for like a change of pace back and a pass catcher in the next level. So he might have some fantasy value. I've gotten too deep. I'm only like six rookies in right now.
Nice.
I think Zonovan Knight would be really good in an outside zone run scheme because
that's it. I have that in my notes.
Yeah, NC State is almost the best zone run scheme in the entire country.
Nice. Good stuff.
And I didn't really like Zamir White.
Zonovan Knight, sorry.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't like Zamir White.
Yeah, like, I think he's fine. Like, he's a fine power back. He's going to be, like, a day three pick, and he's going to be a two-down back.
Two-down back.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the position that you said was probably the deepest here, wide receiver, Kane. Who do you got for your list on wide receivers?
So I'm going to not go as deep on this one and talk about all the relevant players because I think I'd be talking for about 5 minutes straight. So I'm just going to give you the top guy. So my top guy is Garrett Wilson. And the reason why Garrett Wilson is my top guy is I think he works in every single offense. You're going to hear a lot of people say that Treylon Burks is the most exciting. And I agree. Treylon Burks is the most exciting wide receiver in college football right now. The issue is that Treylon Burks doesn't fit in every single NFL offense.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily win laterally. He wins vertically, and it's great, right? When you win vertically, you're able to get upfield quick, and that opens up a ton of different routes, right? It opens up speed outs. The same thing that we see with DK Metcalf in Seattle. They're like, oh, I thought he wasn't, like, he didn't have good agility. Well, he doesn't, but they're speed outs, so it's not about quick cuts. It's about your first three steps being up the field really, really quick, and then breaking outside, right? So I like Garrett Wilson because he can fit into any offense. He can fit into an X, Y, or in the slot. I think he is absolutely an incredible wide receiver. He's not going to be as fast as people want, but he's probably the safest pick at wide receiver overall.
His yards after the catch are absurd. That dude with the ball in his hands, unreal.
I know that Treylon Burks is more athletic, but I think Garrett Wilson can high point a ball better than any other wide receiver in this draft. Like, it seems like when he jumps for the ball, like the other player's hands are like at his hips. Like, he has just a crazy vertical at Ohio State. And I think he's a really, really good running back. Obviously, other Ohio State running or Ohio State wide receiver is Chris Olave. I think he's more of a Z at the next level. I think he fits best as like a wide receiver too. I'm not sure he's going to be kind of that main wide receiver on a team. You have guys like David Bell who prototypes as an X receiver. But that's only when, you know, he gets targeted a ton. And I think he's a little slower than people want him to be. And I don't think his routes are as clean. He just faces really bad competition and there's no one else around him.
Right.
When it comes to competition for targets. I'll just stop there with the top guys. One guy that I absolutely love, and you're going to find a lot of conflicting reports with this guy, but it's Jalen Tolbert. He's the wide receiver out of South Alabama. Now, the reason why I like him is because you can say just about everything that I said for Treylon Burks when it comes to attacking the field vertically and not being super great laterally. It's the exact same for Jalen Tolbert. I think Jalen Tolbert ends up running a 40 within like the 4.45 to 4.59 range. And it's just enough to attack vertically, but also work underneath a little bit. And what I noticed when watching his tape is a lot of his routes, especially underneath routes, are predicated on speed, right? So whether it's an in-and-out route where he cuts inside for two steps and then goes out, whether it's that route or whether it is a curl where you have to strike vertically for a few steps really quickly, or a speed out or a screen, all of that is predicated on his speed. So that kind of tells me that he can do that, especially when he was facing guys that were in Power 5, right? Just go ahead and watch what he did against Tennessee. I thought even though he was kind of blanket coveraged because he was the best player on that team, I thought he still did well to make sure his hands are out and make sure he brings the ball in. He's a strong receiver. But I think you're going to find the most conflicting reports about him just because he's a small school guy and didn't break out right away. But his tape looks pretty solid, and I think that he is a great shot to be a good receiver at the NFL level.
Good stuff. Anybody you want to talk about, Ryan, or do you want to just comment on those guys?
I'll mention one guy who I really, really like as Jameson Williams for Alabama. He's so smooth running. He's explosive. I think he can move around the field. He creates a ton of separation. I think he has a lot of things that's going to put him as a viable receiver at the next level and be a big part of an offense.
Good stuff.
Well, you and I think talked on Twitter about this, and you're like, you said Jameson Williams, wide receiver one. And I said, sure, wide receiver one, sure. Like, I can totally see a scenario, right, where Jameson Williams is the wide receiver one off the board in the NFL draft. Right. The combination of size and speed, because he's going to run probably 4.4 flat or lower than that. Right.
He books it.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about probably low 4.3s, and we're going to be talking about for just lack of a better comp, Henry Ruggs. Right. We're just incredible speed, but only really one true year of production. But I think that's what we're dealing with Jameson Williams. He's crazy fast. And teams want that.
Yep. Yeah, we've seen that before.
He's bigger than Ruggs was, too, by a good bet.
Yeah, he is. But,
listed 6'2".
Yeah, but I think he ends up coming in at, like, 6'1", to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But the speed is just so similar, especially because they're playing the exact same role in the Alabama offense.
And, like, one-year production of Bama's, like, you get 1 year of Bama normally, 2 years max.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the tight end position, which typically is only a few guys deep. You know, last year, of course, we had the unicorn and Kyle Pitts. I'm assuming it's not somebody that like that this year, but let's talk about tight ends a little bit, Kane.
So there's really only like two that are worth talking about right now. The first for me, my tight end one, which because there's no other way to say it, like this. bear with caution when I say tight end one, right? I'm not saying like he's going to be like close to a tight end one when he goes into the NFL. No, he's just the best tight end in this draft.
Class, right?
Yeah, in a bad tight end class. A deep tight end class, but a pretty lackluster class at the top. I mean, that's Jalen Weidermeyer, the tight end out of Texas A&M. I think he's just big and strong, and he can block well. And he's not going to be like this, you know, this overall, like he's going to be crazy athletic like Kyle Pitts. I think he's going to run like high 4.5s, 4.6, somewhere in there. And like, that's good for a tight end. And I think he ends up like getting drafted by like the Chargers or something, right? Who could use just a young tight end that's going to block well. And he can get to the second level with his blocks and seal the edge and all that fun stuff. I think that's him. If you just want a really fun pass catcher and you're going to go for the highest upside that you can get, you're actually looking at Colorado State and the tight end of Trey McBride. He catches a ton of passes, and he's gotten a lot better as a blocker. And I think he's a fun player, but I don't know if the NFL is going to see that same ability to catch passes at a smaller school. And see that transferring over in the NFL.
Yeah, he'd be one of those guys that you want to stash and just hope that he gets a chance eventually to sort of pan out.
Yeah, if I'm in a tight end premium league and I'm like at the end of the third, I probably end up with 6, 7, 8 shares of Trey McBride, yeah. Right? Just hoping that he's going to be the tight end that hits, right? Yeah. That comes out of nowhere and hits. I have no problem taking that shot there.
Good stuff. We got a real quick question in the chat here. Let me see if we pull this up here. Kyle Senra has got a sit-start question. Half-point PPR, half-point first down. He needs to start one of these guys, Ryan. T. Higgins, David Montgomery, or Michael Pittman? That's a brutal decision right there. I like all those guys.
T. Higgins, David Montgomery.
Michael Pittman.
I mean...
Half-point PPR.
Probably Pittman, because he's been consistently the better of them this year, but it's close. But I feel like he's that good medium of a safe pick and upside for me.
What about you, Kane? What are your thoughts? Your half point PPR, Higgins, Montgomery, or Pittman?
I love running backs. It's David Montgomery.
David Montgomery. Yeah, I think that's what I'd go David Montgomery as well, just because I'm the same way. If I'm starting somebody in my flex, it's usually typically a running back, unless I just don't have anybody else. And David Montgomery, I think, is good enough that he has that upside. Plus the half point first down, you know, David Montgomery could get, you know, more first downs on those little short yardage plays. So
right. I'm going to go. Are they really going to run against Arizona that much?
Fair.
It's the Bears, so probably.
Yeah.
All right. I'll accept that.
How many times can you run on a brick wall? Well, the Bears, 20 to 25, probably.
Fair point. That leads right into our listener questions here. As always, guys, if you have a question for us, you can visit goingfor2.com/ask and send us your questions, sit, start, trade questions, whatever you'd like. I'm also on Discord. I take a lot of questions on Discord as well, so you know, feel free to reach out to me on there. And the first one we got here is from Ethan G., and he wants to know, he was proposed this offer. He gets Dalvin Cook. And the other guy gets Ayuk and Brandon Cooks. So Ayuk and Brandon Cooks or Dalvin Cook. Which one are you taking, Ryan?
I would have posted this as more of a brag of getting Cook for basically free out of this. But yeah, I'd have smashed accept that.
Are you on the same boat, Kane, with that one?
Yeah, I want the running back for 2 wide receiver threes.
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement there.
Low end wide receiver.
Yeah, two, you're getting a top 5 player when he's healthy. When he's back for playoffs.
Yep, agreed 100%. Next one here is Entrumind, I think is how you say that name. I don't really know. But Cooper Kupp and JD McKissick for Eckler and Mike Evans. Ryan, who do you have on this side?
Eckler, Evans, that's 2 guys you can plug in and start and be comfortable with every single week. I know Kupp's the wide receiver one right now, but it's not that big of a gap. And then Eckler has been outstanding.
Yeah. What about you, Kane? Are you on the same side?
Yeah, because I always want starting running backs. Like, you can't have enough of them during the season. So I'm going to just keep saying running back until I can't anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you all as well. I think Eckler and Evans, McKissick's one of those guys you start in a good matchup. I don't think you're starting him every single week, whereas Eckler and Mike Evans pretty much plug and play on those two guys. So give me Eckler and Evans as well. Let's see, let's skip down here and just do, this is a dynasty trade question. 12 team super flex PPR, Aaron Jones on one side for Calvin Ridley, Dyami Brown, and a 2022 third. And I'll go to you first, Kay, on this one.
I'm going to try to take out as much risk as possible, and I'm going to take Aaron Jones, assuming that I'm competing.
You got to stay on brand, right, and go running back.
Well, I just don't want the inherent risk that we have right now of Calvin Ridley, yeah. Right? I want him to get right and get, you know, figure out his personal issues. Dyami Brown's a nothing burger and cool third round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically Ridley for Jones. Ryan, are you on the same side here? Are you on Aaron Jones' side, or are you like,
yeah,
Ridley?
Yeah, I'm on the Jones side. I don't want to take the risk. Like, I can get 2-3 more years out of Jones where he's a good fantasy player for me. We don't know Ridley, and I don't care about the other stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on the Aaron Jones side as well. Let's see, price check on Darnell Mooney. Is he worth a 2022 first? More, I don't know how you get more than a first. I can just add to it, I guess, or less. What do you think, Kane? Over under, basically, a 22 first for Darnell Mooney.
If I'm selling, I want a late first. If I'm buying, there's not a chance on this green earth that I'm giving up a first for Darnell Mooney.
No. Like, I like
it's
it.
It's just not happening.
Good stuff.
See your chance.
Yeah, so Ryan, you're on the same boat there. He's not worth the first.
Yeah, let's cool the brakes just a little bit.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, I mean, I like Mooney. He's on my bench right now in one of my leagues, and I like having him there for those bye weeks and those injury fill-ins kind of things, but I'm not giving up a first round pick, whether it's,
well, a 46% target share is not sustainable.
Yeah, 100% agree with that too.
Like, it's just not going to happen. And Allen Robinson was hurt. He's going to be healthy.
Agreed. All right, yep. Last one here. He's in the middle of a rebuild, and he basically wants to know on Van Jefferson, Ryan, sell or hold on Van Jefferson. He's kind of got a little bit of buzz right now because he had a big game this past weekend.
I mean, if you can sell him, go for it. But, like, I don't want him just on my bench. Like, if I get something good offered my way, yeah. But I'm not openly shopping him because that means you just don't want him on the team. Like, he's somebody you're trying to push and trade over with. I'm kind of lukewarm on it.
All right. What about you, Kane? Sell or hold on Van Jefferson? And just for context, his receiving core right now consists of Calvin Ridley, CD Lamb, Jalen Waddle, of course, Van Jefferson and Eskridge.
Yeah, so I will do anything to sell Van Jefferson. You sell players that aren't that good after a good week. That's usually the format. What I'm selling him for, if I could somehow get 2 third-round picks out of the deal,
yeah,
Van Jefferson is gone.
Yeah,
realize he's the third running back or third wide receiver on a team that doesn't want to always give him a ton of targets.
Yeah, he's a big play threat down the field, really, but that's not very consistent. I agree. And who knows what's going to happen next year. Robert Woods will be back, and, you know, Kupp is still there. OBJ, I'm assuming, is going to re-sign with the Rams next year. I don't know. But I think I'm selling him as well after his big week. All right, let's get to our last segment.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
All right, Kane, you said you had a good one here. I'm really curious. We've been doing this now for 3 years. There's not too many that we haven't heard yet. So let's see what you got for your Forgotten Fantasy Player.
I want to say that you haven't heard this one before, because the season that I'm going to pull him from, he's 27 years old, right? And that came in the 2011 season. So just to make you guys feel old, I was a senior in high school while this season was going on. And for stats, he carried the ball 256 times, 977 yards, and 7 touchdowns, and also added 37 receptions for 418 yards.
Yeah.
So not a terrible season for a running back that you probably didn't think was going to start most of the season. In fact, he only started 9 games. And that's our old friend Michael Bush, the running back from the Oakland Raiders.
Nice. That is not one that we've had before. Good pull on that one.
We've Michael not Bush. Had him.
Yeah, like it's a surprisingly like solid fantasy season for someone that you picked up on the waiver wire.
Yeah, 100% agree. 100%. And that's his best season by far, right? I mean, he wasn't anything after that or before that.
Before that, like his best season was 655 yards. But that was it.
Yeah, that's a good pull right there, because yeah, we have not had that one. And just for the listeners out there, it was kind of crazy. So Kane came on the show on the pre-show and didn't have a forgotten fantasy player yet, and he's sort of looking for us while we're doing our pregame talk. He's like, "Ooh, I got one. I got a good one." And
that's a great one.
Yeah, that's definitely a good pull there. Good pull. I like the spontaneity of coming to the show and not having one, and then picking one right before the show starts. I love it.
Yeah, and obviously, like, Darren McFadden was the running back, then ends up getting hurt in the seventh game, and that's why Michael Bush takes over. But a really solid season for someone to just take over and to run the ball 256 times.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is a great pull. All right, man, that wraps the podcast up. We'll go around the room. Give us your Twitter handle one more time. If you want to plug anything, we'll go to you first, Kane.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Devi_Kane. Make sure you check out the Devi Marketplace, because we're trying to get a fresh take to what Devi fantasy football is, right? We all can figure out the names, but the question is, what are their values, right? That's what no one talks about. They all say, well, you should probably trade for this person, but no one tells you what they're worth. And that's what we're looking at over on the Devi Marketplace. If you're a YouTube person, make sure you go over to Headliner U. We're the college football channel of one of the biggest fantasy football platforms on YouTube, so make sure to check that out, because we're doing some fun stuff over there. But thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a blast. It's always fun to talk to you guys, especially when I can try to give a name that you just haven't heard before.
Which is pretty much every name you gave to me tonight, because like I said, I haven't done any research on the rookies yet. But we'll definitely get you back on as we always do before the draft, and give us some more breakdowns there as always. Ryan, what you got going on?
Find me on Twitter at Foss534. Find me here every Wednesday night. Then find me over at the NFL Draft Bible. Our show comes out on Wednesday mornings. And go Ravens.
All right. Good stuff. As always, guys, you can find me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We only have, after this show is done, only 2 shows left in this year. So make sure you check those last 2 shows out. And then me and Ryan go on a little bit of a hiatus. We have a holiday show that we do on the 19th. With all of the hosts from the Going for Two Live podcast network, but then we go on a hiatus and we'll come back in January. But make sure you check out the last 2 shows of the year. They're going to be great ones. We got some great guests lined up, so check us out. For Kane and for Ryan, I'm Jeff. We will see y'all next week.